This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches, but there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at carvana.com.
This podcast is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The content shared is not a substitute for professional medical, mental health, legal, or financial advice. Please consult a qualified professional for personalized guidance or treatment. By listening, you acknowledge that the hosts and guests are not responsible for any decisions or actions you take based on this content.
Feel like a grouch, go beyond the couch, share your confessions on the Aurora Sessions.
Hello, Aurora Healing Crew. Welcome to the Aurora Sessions Beyond the Couch, where we take the stressors that come up in session and bring them into conversation beyond the couch. This is the space where real talk meets real life. Hi, everyone. This is Teresa here, the founder of Aurora Sun Counseling, a group private practice providing psychotherapy for clients in New Jersey, Virginia, and Pennsylvania. Today, I'm here with Ariane Fontaine, who is a licensed New Jersey social worker who takes an empathetic and client-centered approach to therapy, creating safe spaces where people feel heard and respected. She's passionate about normalizing Black mental health, breaking the stigma around therapy in communities of color, and supporting adults through life transitions, self-worth struggles, and healing from past experiences. She's trained in Gottman Method for couples counseling. Ariane also advocates for sustainable self-care and helps clients create practical routines to support their mental and emotional well-being. Welcome, Ariane.
Hey, thank you.
So I've been, like, it's been a habit now, and I'm always self-conscious because, like, with my guests now, but also ever since I met you, your name.
Yeah, yeah.
How do we say your name, like, clearly?
This is a lot. So it is Ariane. That's okay, how it's Ariane. Intended. But when I was, like, in elementary school, mm-hmm. I decided I wanted to go by Ariane. So, like, Ariane. Half the people in my life call me Ariane and half the people in my life call me Ariane. Oh. And then there's people who mispronounce and call me a whole bunch of things. So
Yeah. Sometimes
I respond to any variation because, you know, people are talking to you.
So which one do you prefer now?
As I've gotten older, Ariane, I prefer. Okay. I feel like that sounds, like, more unique, and Ariane can be Ariana or Arian, and I don't want to be called those names. They're lovely for other people.
Yes. What did your parents intend it to sound like?
Oh, they're pro Ariane. They always make fun of, like, we're talking to someone, they called you Ariane, and we're like, who's that?
And Fontaine?
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
cool.
Correct.
Okay. And I always like to start with how I know my guests.
Mm-hmm.
So Ariane actually has been behind the scenes and preparing, and she's actually the one who made this podcast go from ideas to fruition. Without her, I wouldn't have been able to get myself to get the equipment, to get the setups, and she's been helping with the posts and will eventually be more involved in it. And but also we met 2 years ago now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's so crazy. She works at Aurora. And I had like, it felt like speed dating. I was interviewing a whole bunch of people. And I guess just like personal life, I just liked everybody. And I said yes. And I wanted to keep you. And so I was so excited to bring on Ariane. And she's been with us for 2 years.
Yeah, I remember you being like, I have no game. So would you like to work here?
Yeah, I know. Usually I have a second interview. But I was like, oh my gosh, like I really like her. Why waste anybody's time? Yeah.
So I was not in like when you called, I was in Cape May on vacation. I remember like, all right, I'll do this interview. I'd been interviewing so many practices. I got ghosted by one. So I really wasn't in the headspace. I was like, whatever, I'll see what this lady is trying to say.
Yeah.
And then now I'm like changed my whole life.
Oh my gosh.
Work here full time.
Yes. Yeah. So recently, Ariane made the scary leap into full-time private practice. And we are so excited that she's available for us. And so we're loading up her caseload, filling her, and she has more time to offer all these, all the people who want a piece of Ariane.
Yeah. Yes.
So I invited, my staff to come on the podcast, but Ariane was the first for us to like get our stuff all together, our ducks in a row. So welcome, the first Aurora guest.
I know, it's crazy to see it. Congratulations. Aww. You know, coming from an idea and like it's actually here.
Yeah. Well, you helped me.
Yeah. Wow.
You helped me a lot. You helped
teamwork.
Me a lot. Yes. So I mean, of course, I could talk to you about so many different topics. I have so many questions. But the one that you brought up, first of all, I don't know if you guys can see my shoes. These are bright pink Rothy's that Ariane inspired me to buy my first pair of Rothy's because she had red ones.
Yeah.
And they looked really cute. But anyway. And I think pink and green go well together, too. But pink, I love pink. Okay. So you wanted to talk about, your fibroid journey, which I really, and I love talking to my guests that have no idea like what you're going to say or what it is that you're going to tell me. But before we jump into that, I wanted to ask you, just a little bit about yourself and what brought you to want to become a therapist.
Yeah. Good question. Because I really didn't think that I would end up being a therapist. So sometimes I'm surprised I'm here. So I went to college thinking I was going to be a teacher. I really didn't know what I wanted to be, but my family was like, you're really good with kids. And Chestnut Hill was like number one for education. So it kind of just made sense. But 2 years in, I was like, I don't like these education classes. This is not for me. So I changed my major to human services and was kind of just done with school. Like after college, I'm like, I did it. You know, I'm going to graduate. But as I was changing my major, I'm in the room with my dad, who, as you know, is a therapist and has a MSW, and my advisor, who had an MSW from the same school. So I said to them, like, what do people do after college with this human service degree? It's pretty broad. And they were like, they go to grad school. And I was like, oh, absolutely not. I'm done with school. That's not going to be me. 3 months later, I'm asking my advisor for a recommendation letter so I can apply to UPenn. So when I got to UPenn, I still was like, I'm going to be a school social worker. I'd had an internship experience that kind of confirmed that, you know, schools really benefit from having counselors. And I was like, that's it. That's what I'm going to do. I got into that and at first loved it. Felt it was like my dream job and I would stay there forever. And then I transitioned and I started to transition into working with adults because my resume was all elementary school. And I was like, I think I actually want to work with adults now. And I was like, how else can I do that part time with still working full time?
Right.
Insert private practice. And so now I am a therapist.
Yes. Yeah. So Ariane and I, we talk about this often because I secretly, not secretly, not really want my children to become therapists, but I always think like there's always a job for them, and it's so flexible. You could work it around whatever it is, like whether it's auditioning or whatever, like you could do it. She joked that there should be a club for children of therapists.
Yeah, support group. We need it. Yes. One of my really good friends, her mom is also a therapist, and it really helps to have someone who understands. Yes. You've technically been in therapy like your whole life. Like,
right.
Yeah. Well, that's probably what your kids are going to say in a couple of years.
Yes, that they're sick of me checking in with them.
Yeah, talking about feelings all the time. Exactly. Yeah, it's very normal for me.
I'm just quiet. I'm just tired.
Exactly.
Like, leave me alone. That's funny. So we're so happy that you made that transition. And with that, it's funny because I always thought I wanted to be a school social worker because I thought I could have my summers off or at least have that school schedule. But the more I learned, like I give my hat off to the school therapists and social workers and the IET, IEP people team, because there's so much that goes into that I do not even want to touch.
Yeah. And I feel like they don't get to do as much as they need to. And that's where I felt like if I want to do more, I probably should start doing therapy and being a therapist.
Yeah.
But it was nice to have 6 weeks off in the summer.
Right.
All the school holidays. Yeah. I do still miss that. I won't lie. And it's fun working in an elementary school.
Yeah. The kids are always so funny. Oh, they're probably so excited to see you too.
Well, when I was a rough day, I would go into kindergarten and just ask for hugs. Well, I didn't have to ask. They would run up to you and hug you. Like that unconditional love from little kids. Yeah. That was really good. For 6 years, that was my life.
That's nice.
It was fun.
So, but here today, we're not talking about social work. We're actually going to get a little personal with you on your fibroid journey. So, can you tell me the beginning, I don't even know your fibroid because you told me, so I'll share, you were working for me.
Yeah.
And you told me you needed to take time off. And, for a medical thing. And as an employer, I'm not asking why you need this medical procedure.
But, yeah.
So I didn't ask. So can you tell me about your journey and how you first found out and what all happened?
Yeah, I didn't know too much about them probably 10 years ago. I was just having a regular routine checkup with the doctor, and she was like, I think you have fibroids. And my only connection was a friend of mine had them. Mm-hmm. And I was I panicked, oh no, this is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And then I went for the vaginal ultrasound. You have to do that to get checked. And my doctor was like, oh no, yeah, you have them, but they're the size of a dime or a nickel. So, okay. And they remained that way for a couple years.
And do you know how many you have? Is it normal for us to have fibroids, or any fibroids is you have to watch?
So they're non-cancerous. Okay. So I think that's why if they're small, some people exist with them for life and carry full term. And, if they're small and they're not in the uterus, it's a non-cancerous tumor. Yeah.
Okay.
But once they get bigger, especially if they're in your uterus, then it adds complications and you start to have side effects.
Okay.
So for years I had them. No issues. Actually, in hindsight, I probably was starting to have issues and I just didn't really connect it to my fibroids because, again, they were really small. And then I think the biggest red flag was my iron was really low. Mm-hmm. But when you're a woman, it's kind of common when you menstruate.
Right.
And I'd been anemic for years and kind of didn't want to take iron pills. A lot of people don't want to take iron pills because of constipation.
Really?
Yeah, they lead to constipation. So you have to take gentle iron.
Yeah.
And you got to play around with it and try to change your diet. I also should say I don't eat meat. So that also doesn't help with my iron consumption.
Yeah.
So where it got worse, the turn for the worse is I was on, I like to travel.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm coming back from vacation thinking that I'm just not jet lag, but just exhausted from vacation. I'd got my blood drawn prior to that vacation and they're we're going to give you B12 shots. And I kept being these B12 shots don't work. I'm still tired. They don't work, but I'll keep doing this.
Right.
And then I sent my blood results to my parents' doctors. And my parents have a naturopathic doctor who's a little more, I don't know. I don't know what the word is, but
scrutinizing.
Yeah. And always thinks of a vitamin and surgery is the last option.
Okay.
And he was like, you're going to pass out. Your iron is so low.
Wow.
And I had been feeling lightheaded, assuming that it was from traveling and being exhausted. Right. And he was like, one day, if you don't fix this, you're just going to be walking and passing out. And so I was commuting for work.
Yes.
So then, you know, the anxious thoughts of like, where am I going to pass out? Like on the train?
Right.
So I ran to Sprouts. Thank God I live near Sprouts. And like bought all the gentle iron they could have. Because like I said, people don't want to take it because of constipation. But he was like,
this podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
You take gentle iron, you should have a better response. And started doing that. Then my primary called and was like, you need to go see a blood doctor. So everyone was on the same page of like,
that's scary.
Yeah, this is something you need to do. So I met with a blood doctor and he was like, I don't want to put you on blood infusions, you know, automatically. Let me change your iron. So he gave me iron that was a higher dose.
Okay.
And take it 3 times a day. And it did impact my stomach started to hurt, but I was kind of like riding the wave out, like maybe I just have to adjust to it. So my next appointment, he was like, oh, you're not anemic anymore. Like you got your iron up. So I was like, oh, great. Like this problem is solved. But he's like, I think you should go to your OB. Like, I think this is, you know, a little bit deeper. And like, I think because he couldn't say that because this isn't his specialty.
Right.
He was trying to like say it without saying like, I think you should check out these fibroids. And then I was having like really heavy periods, but I kept thinking, I don't know if you do this, but other people probably do, like, oh, this month was just a bad period.
Right.
Or this month was just bad. Well,
rationalize it that it's not so. We always dismiss our own medical stuff.
Yes.
This is why women often die more from heart attacks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we're socialized to just push through, suffer in silence, deal with it. So then I was like using different products to see, like, you know, doing all my own research, taking more vitamin A, taking more vitamin K, like taking more vitamin C.
Not taking the doctor's advice and going to the OB.
Yeah. So I finally did go to the OB. And then the night before I started feeling around my stomach, my uterus, and I was like, oh, these fibroids, they got bigger. I can feel them.
That's a little gross to me. See, I'm not a nurse. I always say I'm a social worker, not a nurse. Okay, you can feel your fibroids from the outside.
They're protruding out. Like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, you can feel them. Well, some people have pain because they can feel them so much. But I wasn't in pain, luckily.
Luckily.
So when I finally did go to the OB, because my doctor takes a long time to get an appointment with her. She's like, yep, that's it. And I was asking her, I was like, you sure it's not PCOS? You know, sure it's not endometriosis? And she's like, no, they've gotten bigger. And because I have a history of blood clots, which is a whole nother.
Oh my gosh, that's so scary.
I know. I knew you were going to have such a reaction. Which is a whole nother situation. But I couldn't do like other things that people probably could do. Like, so I had to go through like a series of appointments. And then my option was either birth control or like an IUD.
Okay.
Or surgery. But I felt like birth control was just like a Band-Aid.
Right.
And so they told me it was like one particular fibroid. And then I chose to get that one removed. So technically I've had 2 fibroid surgeries because that one wasn't the answer. That one didn't work.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. So that is a long. So tell me about what was that procedure like? Because I remember you saying that it was like, or maybe it was one of your posts that like you that it took longer for you to recover than you thought, or like. So I guess. First of all, I don't want to gross out the audience. I'm assuming they go through your vagina.
So the first one, yes.
Okay.
They did because, like I said, they're inside. Okay. So it was like in one of my cavities.
Yeah.
So that when you're put to sleep, it's a same day procedure.
Right.
Maybe like it took a couple hours, but you're out probably for like an hour and a half.
Okay.
No pain. maybe some spotting.
Yeah.
So that one was fine for me.
Yeah.
The second one that I just had in July is more similar to like a C-section.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So how is it similar like a C-section?
Because the incision of where you get cut is similar.
Really? So they go from the outside?
Yeah, and then inside.
Oh my gosh.
There's incisions on my stomach because it was, they use these robots, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Like the doctor's like connected to these robot hands that are going in. But because I had so many, so they thought they were getting 11. I had 12 and two were really big.
Okay.
So they needed to have them make an incision, which is similar to women when they have a C-section.
Right.
And then, yeah, so they had, there was one extra that they didn't account for. And then I have four cuts on my stomach and then an incision.
That's
so I
a
think
lot.
My healing, like my stomach was kind of fine. I think it's more like the incision, like walking, like I was always hunched over like that. That's what I, you know, when I tell people, I'm like, it's similar. If you had a C-section or seen someone that has, like, that's the recovery. Not the same at all.
But still, they say abdominal surgery is one of the most painful and hardest to recover from.
I will say, shout out to Club Pilates. I think that really helped a lot. I do. Yes. I think that helped my recovery with the core. I've also always had bad menstrual cramps.
Mm.
So I felt like I was having menstrual cramps. So the heating pad was really good. They prescribed Oxy, which I didn't take, didn't even think. That didn't even do anything. So I could manage the pain. Okay. I think a lot of it, more of it is mental.
Okay.
You know, if you're not someone that's used to asking for a lot of help and independent, not being able to drive for 2 weeks, like having trouble getting up, like everything kind of, it feels different.
Yeah.
That's more of it, the shift.
So was there anything, is fibroids like hereditary or is it like, does one just develop fibroids? Like, do you know that part?
So that's a little unclear. I kind of think there's some hereditary connection. They're common in women of color.
Okay.
So my mom has never had them.
Okay.
But other women in my family have.
Okay.
So like when I first got them, she was like, you know, like, what is this? How do you have this? And like, even my surgery, she was like, I haven't had these experiences. Like she didn't have painful menstrual cramps like I did. Like we just didn't have the same experience. So the doctor told me she thinks it's caused from low vitamin D levels, which are common in women of color.
Okay.
A lot of people have other theories about diet. The only way to kind of, because there is no cure. There's no way to like prevent them from happening.
Okay.
So some people try raw vegan diets and like, I'm already a pescatarian. I'm already plant-based. I know. Right. I'm like, what else do you want me to not eat? So there is no answer, which is really hard. Recently, I think somebody was on TV and they said high stress levels, but like, you know, I'm a social worker, so I'm always going to be.
Right.
So I don't know. I think there's not enough answers to say what is exactly the cause, where it's coming from. It's definitely a hormone and estrogen.
So now that you had them removed.
Mm-hmm.
Do they come back?
Yeah, they can grow back. That's the thing.
Oh my gosh.
So I think some people opt not to have them removed and try to shrink them naturally. You can drink like apple cider vinegar or kind of take more of like vitamin supplements. Mine were probably way too big. I mean, some of mine were probably way too big for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, my doctor said from 2 to 5 years, but I've seen videos which have caused some anxiety about 9 months after surgery, them coming back.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Ugh. And then you'd have to go through this again?
Well, it depends how fast they grow.
Okay.
Because like, they could come back small.
Okay.
And they could be outside your uterus and be small and you wouldn't really feel that. But if they...
But you don't want to be feeling them from outside.
Well, if they're small, you probably won't.
Oh, okay.
But there are like... This also is part of the post of like, stop asking women if they're pregnant. Because sometimes women look pregnant and that's their fibroids.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in general, yes. Stop asking.
Stop controlling our bodies.
God. Yeah. So beyond the physical challenges, obviously, like a C-section, abdominal surgery, what kind of emotional or mental health impact did it have?
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to share it, because typically I'm really private. I feel like not many people know I just was going through this for the last 2.5-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But when the doctor said to me, she's like, I think we should get rid of all of them and just do the surgery.
Mm.
And I was like, I need something because this is really impacting my mental health. Like I need some type of win.
Okay.
In hindsight, I probably should have gone for all of it. But I was so anxious because like I said, I'm commuting to work. Like There's no bathroom on the train or the train station. What if I have an accident? I'm in pain too. And so it's like, I have meetings and I'm presenting, like, you know, I'm dealing with this. I'm self-conscious the way I look. Cause now I feel like even more bloated than you typically are on your period because I know that, you know, my fibroids are bigger and around my abdominals. So just that I was really anxious. And then with the iron, when your iron's really low, your mood is really low. You're sleepy, you're exhausted, and that can impact your mental health as well. You don't have the energy to do normal things that you would. So there's a strong correlation to mental health that I don't think we talk about enough.
Mm-hmm. Because it's when you're tired, I think it's hard to distinguish if that's depression or I'm tired.
Yeah.
And then if you're having enough sleep and you're still tired, am I depressed?
Yeah.
So I guess for you, how did you battle through that?
That's a good question. Therapy.
Okay.
Traveling.
Okay.
And I think once I went to the doctors, I felt like there was light at the end of the tunnel.
Okay.
Sometimes normalizing it. Like, I do have a couple family members or friends that have gone through this. So, like, being able to talk about it with someone who has the same experience was helpful.
Okay.
Definitely.
That's a good point as far as finding your people.
Yeah. Because there's not enough attention.
Right.
I think, like, PCOS and endo is getting more attention, but I think maybe like a month ago, a couple women were on TV talking about their surgeries, but like Venus Williams, I think, talked about it. But we need more people because, like, you know, women are going to work every day, like, uncomfortable, in pain, heavy bleeding. Like, it's not
and
fun.
Honestly, like, I used to think, like, the time of the month or having your period is just something everybody should be just sucking up and, it's part of life. Mm-hmm. And it's not until I had friends who really, had difficulty, had heavy menstrual, cycles and fainted when they, that, and then, so now, not to out anybody, but like having maybe an adolescent in your life that also has, menstrual cycles, that it's I find myself more empathetic and caring, I guess.
Yeah, I find that to be hard too, because when I talk about when I've talked about my menstrual cramps for years, some people are like, oh, I've never had cramps before, and I'm like, what? Or like when someone would ask me for like a tampon and I'm using like an ultra tampon, they're like, whoa, do you have something smaller? Like, no, because this is what I need. So I don't know what that life is.
So are things better now, like as far as did the fibroids take care of the heavy periods?
I don't know yet. So my body is still cycling, balancing out. So the first, so you won't know until like a couple of months after, which is also no one really explained that to me.
Yeah.
So when I had the first cycle after having surgery, I was like, oh, it didn't work. Like, what else is happening?
Yeah.
And so then I called them. They're like, actually, your first couple cycles will still be heavy.
Okay.
So I don't really know.
Well, thanks for letting me know.
I know. I was like, no one educated me about this. And I don't know if you're going to ask this, but I also think it's important to mention, for a lot of women, this impacts them having children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So in what way does it, like, because when I think about C-sections and people say, like, if you have too many C-sections, your uterus can, like, burst or something. So how does it impact having children?
So if you have fibroids in your uterus, it's competing with the baby. Like, it's taking the blood from the baby. I hope I'm saying all this correct because I'm not a doctor. Let's do that. But the way I understand it is, so if they get bigger, sometimes they're competing with the birth of your child. So a lot of women get this fibroid surgery in order to have children once they're completely healed.
Okay.
Now, I do know women have carried and then they're outside their uterus and they're small, and that's okay. So it's not a, like, oh my God, you have fibroids, you can't have kids, like that. No, but will it create some issues? Can it? Yes. And then I think if you're not educated, that's where your mind goes. That's where my mind went initially when she told me I had fibroids in my 20s. I was like, what does this mean?
Right.
Yeah.
So what did they do when you, like, when someone who's had fibroids or like with the surgery, what, I mean, I know you're not a doctor, but like if and when you do have get pregnant, like, what do they, is there something they have to watch out for or give you more medication or how does that work?
I think they monitor them.
Okay.
And monitor the growth.
Okay.
And then I'm assuming that if it got.
All right. Remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be.
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Too much, then there would have to be a procedure, or maybe you deliver early, God forbid, because they inside the uterus, I believe they both can't coexist.
Right.
Okay. Outside, I think you would be okay. But
am I making this up? I feel like one of the Kardashians had fibroids.
I'm not sure if the Kardashians. I know other reality stars.
Okay. Yeah, I wonder. I think. Maybe I'm thinking of Kim, but I could be totally making.
Do you watch Housewives?
No, I don't.
I was going to say Bo's from Housewives and Cynthia Bailey from Housewives, who's also known as a supermodel. She talked about it.
Okay. So another question I have, was there a moment where you really felt the connection between women's health and mental health come into focus for you? I guess when you were going through this, did you make a conscious decision? Like, I want to talk about this more.
Yeah. So I think my mom was talking to me and she was like, is it okay if I tell someone that you just had surgery? And I was like, I want women to know, like, I'm okay to talk about this in front of women because we're not talking about it enough. Mm-hmm. And I want women to know that a heavy period isn't normal. A painful period isn't normal. And maybe it's not fibroids, maybe it's endo, maybe it's PCOS, but like, this isn't a regular period. Isn't normal.
Right.
No one told me that. I mean, my mom would have to pick me up from school sometimes. So this education is necessary. I've thought about it when I see other therapists say like women's issues. I was like, what does that include? Mm-hmm. But it was helpful for me and with my therapist because she does have the same experience. She does understand what I'm going mm-hmm. through. And so it was nice for her to be able to understand, like I didn't have to explain it to her.
Right.
Like she knew about fibroids, she knew about heavy periods, whether that was her life or not. But so there needs to be a space because, you know, I will say I did appreciate my doctors, but doctors have a certain bedside manner that isn't the same as therapists. Mm-hmm. And they like to cut you open and perform. And so that's not the same as like, let me hold your hand. And I know this is really difficult for you. And let's talk about this. Like when I said, this is impacting my mental health. She was like, okay, so here's my dates for surgery. Yeah. Like it wasn't like, what are you doing about that?
So before surgery, it was impacting your mental health.
But even going to, I had never had major surgery before.
Yeah. So what were you like, what was going through your mind? What were you anxious about like leading up to it?
I watched the movie Awake years ago. Don't ever watch this if you're about to have surgery. And it's where, have you seen the movie?
No, but.
You shouldn't.
No, I think my friend, I don't know if we had this conversation. My friend Mo was telling me, she read the book. Oh, I know what you're talking mm-hmm. about. No, she was telling me about R.L. Stein, about the IV, that there was like a bubble in the IV and that killed. Like it's not even medically correct, but it like freaks her out when she sees that IV.
Yeah.
But I think I know what
you're... Yeah, so he got put to sleep, but it didn't take all the way. So he felt everything happening, but your body's paralyzed and they can only tell by like your eyes moving. So that was, you know, I was fine. I scheduled the surgery. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. This is great. And then a couple of days before I was like, what if they don't put me out? Like, what if I feel this? And so when the doctor came in, the anesthesiologist, I was like, just make sure I'm asleep. Like, just make sure I'm knocked out. And they're confident. They're like, yeah, of course you're going to be asleep. No problem. But I was like, please, like, that is what I'm asking for. And that I wake up, but like, I have no tolerance for pain. So I couldn't be laying there paralyzed and feeling you cut me open. No,
I mean, nobody can.
So my anxious thoughts. And I even messaged a therapist that I used to work with. Her husband is a doctor. And I was like, tell me about this. And she's like, oh, that's like, you know, rare if it ever happens, blah, blah, you know, kind of walked me through it.
Yeah.
Even little things. I usually get my nails done. And then when you have surgery, they typically don't want you to, so they can look at your nail beds for oxygen. Oh, okay. So then I went out and bought nail polish remover and took it with me to the hospital in case they said you had to like change my nails. I just got them done. Like more anxious thoughts and like that, like typically wouldn't be my thing. But I wasn't worried about like dying or anything like that. But it's annoying. Like the whole thing of I was hungry, you have to fast, like being pricked and prodded and asked the same questions. Like I just couldn't wait till it was over.
Yeah.
And then I had to do it again a couple months later.
That's a lot. So if you could wave a magic wand, what's one thing you'd change about the way healthcare or mental health services support women's health?
I think there needs to be more collaboration. Like, I know there was a move to get like police and therapists to work together. Like that needs to happen. Like, I think as soon as I said to her, you know, this is impacting my mental health, like even if I didn't need it, maybe a call from a therapist that works for the hospital or something should have been just a routine to check in with me. Like there was no one to check in with that or ask me any questions. And I know it's probably the how I present. I also told her I was a therapist. So, you know, they think that we have no problems and we're fine all the time. But I think when you're going through surgery, I definitely think there needs to be some mental health support. Like
that is a really good point because any surgery and if like that's a big adjustment and that's and even if you didn't have any mental health issues to begin with, that causes a lot of anxiety and just having someone to talk to.
Yeah. And depression for a lot of people, because what does this mean for their future? Yeah, I might have to have a surgery again. She asked me if I wanted a hysterectomy. That's a major decision.
Right. Yes. Yeah. How are you supposed to make that?
And she said, worst case scenario, you bleed out or like, I can't help you. I'll have to do a hysterectomy.
Oh my God.
And so I said, just call my mom before you do. Like, just call my mom. So like somebody has signed off of this that I trust.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't know what I was waking up to. Like, is my, you know, so I think like there should have been like when they call you the next couple of days, like just want to check out, see how you're healing.
Right.
Here's also a referral for a couple of therapists. It's recommended that you do 1 to 2 sessions. Like it's free.
Right.
Whatever. Like.
Yeah. Right. Free.
Well, I'm always for the free. Free therapy for everybody.
I know. But part of like the treatment care team would be great. No, I hear you because in, I think the hospitals, usually there's like a doctor and then like a PA or APN and then a nurse. I think they see that as like the care team.
And
like,
it is.
Yeah. But then a therapist or a social worker or something would be great.
Assigned to the team.
Yeah.
And we'll check in with you and it could be 5 minutes.
Right.
Hey, I'm a therapist. I'm just calling to check in and see how you're doing. How you feel about the surgery? Anything I can, you know, say to the doctor? Because sometimes doctors just speak medical language and that isn't the same as how a therapist could help you translate that.
Or here's other
resources,
self-help
support group.
Exactly.
Surgery survivors support group.
Yeah. There's so many different things that we can just add and normalize mental health as part of like
part of your care. Because it's a lot of mental, it's physical, but it was a lot mental too.
Well, when there's a lot of physical, mental is part of it.
You know, they don't understand that.
How do you get through the physical without mental?
You got to treat them both.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you said talking to a therapist helped. What coping skills that you did besides talking to a therapist helped you like in your everyday life? Because you couldn't like maybe go for walks like or exercise, which some people, they say that that's their like coping skill. What did you do?
I definitely did exercise. That helped. You know, I read a lot. Like I need to, my brain needs to escape to something else. I think what was in my control, I tried to control. So I figured out how to manage it and make it comfortable for me.
Okay.
Which wasn't maybe would work for somebody else.
Yeah.
I also set myself, I was saying this to my mom the other day, like if I knew it was coming, like my cycle's coming, I made sure I had certain stuff, food in my house that made me feel good so I could take medication right away if I was in pain.
Oh my God.
My heating pad.
That's but a I know lot.
It does.
Every month you had to go through this?
But that routine made it so much easier to go through. I was already prepared.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, you know, being caught off guard. And when I can, exercise definitely. If you have cramps, exercise is really.
So what exercise did you do?
If I could walk?
Because when you're cramping, the
you need to walk. Yeah, because that loosens up the cramps. So yeah, you know, I was commuting. So once I got off the train at 8th and Market, if anyone's familiar, then I had to, not 8th and Market, 34th and Market. Then I had to walk a couple blocks to work.
Okay.
So that helped. Sometimes going for midday walks, like, yeah, heating pads, definitely my best friend.
Okay. To hear that, everybody, you want to curl up in your bed.
Yeah, exercise.
Walking. Okay.
Yeah. Move your body. Because the best I've ever felt was when high school when I was running track. It was the best.
That's another weird concept for me because.
Running?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm not a runner now.
But still, you ran. So were you long distance or short distance? Oh,
it was horrible. They tried to get me to do hurdles and it was horrible.
Well, you have the legs.
Oh, I hated it. Run through the hurdle. This makes no sense. But I remember that being like, oh, I didn't have cramps for these couple months. It was like the first time ever because exercise really, the blood flow, the cramping, you know, it all makes sense.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So you did hurdles?
Yeah, I didn't do them well.
I couldn't even, I remember in gym class, they had us like try and I was like.
No, I couldn't get the concept. You're really supposed to run through them. I could not get that concept.
Right, because it's a thing there.
Exactly.
You're not supposed to like pummel through something.
And only with one leg.
And who's to say the other one's going to follow it?
Exactly. Where were you when I was 14, 15?
Probably in college.
No way.
Okay. Did you find any unexpected resources or strength in the community along the way?
That's a good question. I don't think so. You know, prior to my surgery, I started scrolling through TikTok and typing in the procedure. That was actually not helpful at all. I do not recommend.
No.
Because everyone's recovery is different. And I will say, like, some people will need all the pain meds. That wasn't my thing. And I felt like the pain was manageable where other people were in bed the whole time. So, you know, that wasn't helpful.
Right.
I think really talking to other people who had already experienced or currently experiencing, had also been through surgery. One of my closest friends had been through surgery. So she was like, get gas X, get a heating pad, like take this to the hospital with you. Like things I didn't think about the heating pad at all. I didn't think about gas X, you know, because you're bloated. They pump your body with air.
Well, any surgery you do, that is like gas comes next.
Yeah. Didn't think about it. I mean, I had never had majors. I had my wisdom teeth taken out when I was a 10-year-old. So this was...
That's young.
Yeah, I had braces. It was the only connection to surgery. So like, I didn't know the things.
Yeah.
And I also think they give you these papers that are overwhelming, but having someone say,
I don't read any of them. Well, they're all too long to read.
You probably should.
I know. No time for this. Yeah, but no, those are important papers.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so as a therapist, I think this is like one thing that's the harder things as being a therapist is even like when you're going through something and then also being somebody else's therapist. What did you do to help you, I guess, be present in therapy sessions for your clients when maybe you were still going through something?
Yeah, it's not easy. I think it's a mind shift for me. Like as soon as, you know, I click the simple practice button, it's like, okay, it's not about me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But there were definitely times I'm in pain or like, you know, like I got to get up and move. But I think I just know like in this moment right now, it's not about you. And you got to stay focused and stay present. I think because I took care of myself on the back end, I was able to be present with my clients because I would say that none of them probably knew. I've not shared with any of them that I had, you know, surgery. So they thought I was on vacation for 2 weeks, which is more on brand for me. But yeah, so I think just being present and knowing like your role, like this isn't your time.
Yeah. You're passionate about normalizing Black.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Mental health. Why is that so important to you, and what changes would you love to see in that space?
I never knew therapy wasn't for Black people. You know, growing up with a therapist, that was never a conversation in my house.
Yes, you had an example.
Yeah, my dad is servicing Black and brown communities. So asking for help, reaching for help, taking care of yourself was always a conversation. And then when I started working in like urban ed or certain communities and they're like, Black people don't go to therapy. And I was like, whoa, wait. Why? Why shouldn't we? Mm-hmm. Why? And it, I think it's connected to self-love and self-care. Like if you need to take care of yourself, and why aren't we seen as valuable and that we should be doing the things to take care of ourselves? Why is that a white thing to do and not a Black thing to do? And, and I know like the history behind it. I know why it's viewed that way without going into that. But I want to be the person to normalize it. I also want to be the representation. I've shared with my clients, I've gone to therapy. I intentionally went to therapy so that I knew how uncomfortable it felt to be on the other side of the chair.
You know, in England, to that point, my friend from England, she's went to be a therapist in England. She says part of the curriculum is you have to see a therapist.
I wish we begged for that when I was at Penn.
Yeah.
In NYU, I think they make you go for their program.
I think everybody.
It's essential. I wouldn't trust a therapist that has never been to therapy.
No.
For my own personal mental health. Yeah.
No, I agree. Yeah. Just like nurses, they practice shots on each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Our doctors go see a doctor. Right. Why is it?
Right. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, but that's why. And self-care. When I supervised interns, they were like, what's one thing we need to know? And I was like, start your self-care practices now. Mm-hmm. Start it now while it's early in your career. Take a day off if you need to. Mm-hmm. When I first got my MSW, my friends and I went to Hand and Stone when it first opened. And then I had a membership until a couple months ago. I canceled it. But I had a membership. I would go get my massages. I would take off my birthday every year. Yeah. Like, start those practices now so you're not, like, burnt out. And you wait till you're burnt out.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I need help. And it's sometimes a little too late. And it also impacts your physical health, too.
Yes. Yes. Practice what you preach.
Please.
Yeah. Courtney, for her birthday, she... I found out other people do this, too. She goes through, like, go to Starbucks, makes her rounds.
Stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and collects her free stuff.
You gotta have, like, the app sometimes. I don't have enough space in my phone for that, but I did get the free Starbucks last year.
Oh, good.
And the free Nothing But The Cake, you get like a little cake too.
At Starbucks?
No, Nothing But The Cakes. Is that over here?
I don't know if there's one in South Jersey.
Oh, you don't have one in this area.
No, no. But Sephora, I think, gives you a little something too.
They do. They give you a birthday gift. Yeah.
Yeah. So we talked about the self-care and your personal life and how you apply it. So... what else, I guess, do you see in your practice? Mm-hmm. How do you want to apply, if you do at all, what you went through with the fibroids and mental health in the Black community or in social work in general? What do you want to create?
Yeah, I think similar to like why I want to normalize mental health in the Black and brown space. I want to normalize like advocating for yourself. So there's a lot of fear around going to the doctors, especially for like Black women caring. And although that wasn't my situation this time, I did have my last surgeon wasn't a woman of color. And, you know, initially going to that appointment, I was like, is she going to care for me? Is she going to understand? Mm-hmm. Is she going to, you know, give me the same? Because representation really matters, especially in the medical space where you're being about to be cut open. Mm-hmm. But being able to have those conversations and talk that through, I think it's the same thing as normalizing, you know, mental health. Let's normalizing advocating for yourself, for your physical health.
So did you talk to your surgeon?
I almost asked her. I didn't ask her. I liked her vibe.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
What honestly helped, though, a Black male nurse before my surgery, I said, do you know my doctor? And he said...
get the inside scoop.
He said, yeah. I said, yeah, she's nice. He said, more importantly, she's good.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was like a sign. Yeah. And after that, I was not nervous anymore.
Right.
Like, I don't know if it was like a Black uncle vibe, but like he was like more, he like looked at me. More importantly, she's good.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel like I needed to ask her. Good. She was always very endearing and sweet. Yeah. And she was recommended by a person of color too.
Right.
But well, like a lot of people have clients that don't go to the doctors for years because their doctor doesn't look like them. They don't know what to say.
Right.
And so there's
that's just medical.
Medical.
So, like That's not even mental health.
Exactly. Well, they feel like they're going to get gaslit by the medical professionals, or like when they speak medical language and you don't know what they're saying.
Right.
So how do you, like, we could talk about this in therapy. How do you advocate? How do you ask the appropriate questions? If you don't like what they're saying, get a second opinion. You can request another doctor. Like, it sounds probably second nature, but it's not for a lot of people. And I hope that we can create that safe space for them.
How do you think is the best way to promote mental health in communities of color? How do we reach them? How do we normalize?
I know that's hard. I do think having public figures talk about therapy has definitely helped, like Meg Thee Stallion, Lizzo, like people like that, like, because that's reaching like a demographic and a younger demographic. You know, sometimes it's a little trendy with kids now to be like, my therapist, but that's not always the case. I also think making it accessible, like with you taking insurance, I think that definitely helps, because therapy can be like $150, $200 a session. And that's not, you know, not everyone can do that.
Right.
So I think virtually helps too.
I agree.
So then there's no barrier. There's no like, okay, you get $5 copay. I'm meeting you at your house technically. But I think having these conversations, like, you know, people love to tell, my friends love to tell people I'm a therapist, but as cringy as sometimes that is, but it's good that, that I'm the face, you know, they see and like, oh, okay, so you're a therapist. That's different. And someone said it the other day, they're like, she'd be good for your young girls. And I'm sitting in the middle, like not trying to promote myself. But even just having that conversation, now that woman's thinking, oh, okay, so my young girls will see like a Black woman in this position if they need to. I think we need to start having more of the conversations.
I know we use the referral source of therapy for Black girls. I guess where do people promote that, like within the community? Like, where do people hear about the
therapy
database?
For Black girls?
Yeah.
Their Instagram is really popular.
Oh,
they do
okay.
a lot of podcasts. They had a conference recently too. So I think they've
Because we've had a little pop in referrals from them. So
They're known. Now.
Okay. So what's next for you in your journey?
My medical journey?
Or and your goals? What do you want? Where you're going next? Do you have a next vacation booked?
Oh, I don't. I'm too indecisive right now. That definitely, you know, I had surgery in July. So out for like 2 weeks. More like 6 weeks, honestly. Kind of put a damper in wanting to plan. Like, you don't want to go on vacation. People are like, didn't you just have surgery? How are you on the beach? Aren't you healing?
Well
you
yeah,
I'm healing
the
with the
yeah.
sun. My birthday is coming up, so I do want to do something for myself, but I also want to take the pressure off of having to do something. So trying to find that balance. It might be a staycation.
I love a staycation because I in Instagram, I see people who like live in cities and they're never tourists in their city. And there's like so people come from other countries to.
I don't know why.
Like to Philadelphia.
It's funny.
But there's so many shows you could watch. Like I love being so close to Philly and having that access to theater and museums
and the food. Philly has really good. New York has better food, but Philly has really good food.
Is there anything that we didn't touch on today that you'd really like to share?
I don't think so. I think just if you're having irregular periods, if you're having heavy, painful periods and cycles, go to your doctor. If that's uncomfortable for you, call your therapist. Find a therapist and talk about how to advocate for yourself. Because medical gaslighting is a thing. And, you know, you want to take care of yourself in every way. And to also know that physical and mental health are one and the same.
I was thinking as we were talking, the Melanie woman. What is her? She's... Just Being Melanie is her handle. She's the one that created the premenopausal community where we all talk about the like we just don't care. Like so talk about like women like we're bloated and we're not like wearing a bra or like we don't have our makeup on and we don't care. Things that we don't care about anymore as premenopausal or menopausal woman. I think like and she's a woman of color. And I think that And it really went viral. I'm sure our feeds are different, like, because I'm older. But and it really allowed women. I think the reason why it became viral is it allowed women of all, like, it really brought women in general together to talk about premenopause, menopause, and periods. And I think that this is a good conversation to have, because a lot of times, like, why should menstruation, I can never say that word, menstruation, be gross or not talked about?
The shame and the stigma. I would be like hiding my tampons in the bra to walk to the bathroom. And I thought about that when I was driving over here. Like, there's part of it that's like, it's private, it's your business. Like, not everyone needs to know, like, hey, I'm bleeding right now. But also, like, why it's such a shameful thing. And I think it is because we feel gross. I know I feel gross. But also, like, men probably like, oh, this is gross, I don't talk about this. And so when you work in a male-dominated space, or even if you don't, you feel like you have to hide it. But do you know, like, a couple years ago, women were talking about if they're changing a pad and they're trying to be quiet, opening the bathroom, now just being loud. Like, that's that's me now. Like, I'm in the bathroom, you're in the bathroom. Like,
we're in the same bathroom. We all go through this once a month. So the why are we trying to be quiet?
Because if we had to choose this, we wouldn't. So this it's just something naturally happening for our body. So now I can't take the shame around. This is how my body works. Now, I thought when you said, "Do you have, if I had a magic wand, would I want to, what would I change?" That's what I would change.
Yeah. What?
I would get rid of menstrual cycles.
Yes. It's so unnecessary.
Or maybe we could pick when we have them or something. Yes, exactly. I don't know.
Ugh, that would be so nice. And and also the, just having to pay for.
Ugh, ridiculous.
Yeah. I hate that we have to pay for
ridiculous
these things. And women in general get paid less
per
dollar.
We're talking about showing up to work like this. And then a man is getting paid more and I'm dealing with physical symptoms that are happening, doing the same amount of work.
I heard somewhere that in other countries they do...
menstrually.
Yeah.
Yeah. We need to just move out the country.
That's a whole nother podcast.
That is.
Well, thank you so much, Ariane, for coming onto the podcast. And I look forward, we're going to be adding, she's going to help us create some more like panel discussions and more topics to talk about. And thank you so much for bringing this podcast into fruition.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for holding the space. There's not a space to talk about this. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Before we go, Aurora Healing Crew, take a deep breath like you're soaking in sunlight. Warm, steady, grounding. As you move through your day, check in with your gut. Notice how you feel around others. Your energy is precious. Protect it so you have the strength and light to do what really matters to you. Because life is hard and we're getting through it together. Thank you for listening to the Aurora Sessions Beyond the Couch. Visit our website at aurorasuncounseling.com to learn more. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Just search Aurora Sun Counseling. Got questions or topics you'd love to hear us cover? Email us at info@aurorasuncounseling.com or drop a comment. We'd love to hear from you.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.